You know, as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, 2,000 years ago, 120 people gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem. Okay? Somewhere far away. But as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened? They transformed the world. Yeah, from 120 people, billions and billions have become followers of Jesus. And not just followers, but followers for good. Okay? So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to come to the Word this morning. Yeah, and we're going to come back to worship after that. So would you like to sit down? Four times in the Gospels, Jesus is introduced by John the Baptist. And each time, this is what John the Baptist says. I'll shoot out the scriptures. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Yeah, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Okay? In Mark chapter 1, verse 8, similar words repeated again. I have baptized you with water, says John the Baptist, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John the Baptist says this. John answered them all saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And then in John chapter 1, verse 33. Okay, and in John chapter 1, we can see in verse 33, it says, "I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" You jump down to verse 35. It says, "The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.'" Now, we are all familiar with Jesus as the Lamb of God, are we not? Yeah. Is he the Lamb of God? What does the Lamb of God do? He takes away our sins. Yeah, Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood. And that lamb is a picture of the Old Testament lamb. You know, many religions in the world still have that thing of an animal sacrifice. And in Judaism, the lamb was slain and the blood shed for the sins of the people. Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So no matter how much good we do, it will not take away our sin. Because the only way sin is forgiven is through the shedding of blood. Okay? Jesus shed his blood for us. But we are so aware of that and we are thankful for that. But Jesus is mentioned as the Lamb of God in the Gospels by John the Baptist only once. Four times it says, "Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So I think that's important, don't you think so? Four times. Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And we see that Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. So now picture this scene. Jesus had died, as we said earlier, for the sins of the world on the cross. Yeah. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He was dead, he came alive. And he came alive and he went to his disciples. And he spent not one, not two, or three, or four, but 40 days with them. So over a period of 40 days, he appeared to them, he taught them, he ate with them, he met them. And on one of these last days, he said this in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me.'" And Jesus repeats the promise. "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Okay? So think of this. Jesus has been risen from the dead. He appears to his disciples. 40 days he's staying with them. And then he knows he's got to go. And he says, "Listen to me." Okay? "John baptized with water." We'll come to that. "But I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." He says, "Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for this. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he explains what this promise of the Father is. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Verse 9 tells us, when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you came, you died on the cross and shed your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. You were raised from the dead and you rose into heaven. Lord, and you've promised that you will baptize us with your Holy Spirit and with fire. We look forward to that this morning. Lord, would you bless us as we look at your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first thing we want to know is this. Jesus promised that he will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay, what does it mean? We'll look at that. So that's how he was introduced four times in the gospel, and Jesus himself said that. Now, what is the purpose of the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Okay, we look at what it is, but what is the purpose? And in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, this is the purpose. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the reason for the baptism with the Holy Spirit is that we will receive power. Everybody say power. Power. Okay, that's what it is. It's to receive power. But this power is not for ourselves. It's to go and to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, and tell people about Jesus. To tell them, listen, Jesus died for your sins. He rose from the dead. He went up to heaven. He's coming back. You need to repent. Because he's going to come back and then judge the world. Okay? So that's what it is all about. And there is power that as we go out and preach the word, then we pray for the sick, they get healed. There are people who have demons. In the name of Jesus, we say, come out of them, demons will flee. So that's what the power is for. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon a few individuals. The Holy Spirit was not poured out upon all believers. From time to time, for specific purposes, few people received the Holy Spirit. Okay? How did that happen? Look at in Judges chapter 6, verse 34, we see Gideon. Okay? Where Gideon received the Holy Spirit. Judges chapter 6, verse 34. It wasn't the whole army that received the Holy Spirit. It was only Gideon. It says that, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet. And the Abizarites were called out to follow him. Who did the Spirit come upon? Only Gideon. Individuals. One person. In Judges 14 verse 19. In Judges 14 verse 19 we see Samson. And it says there, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, that Samson, and he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town, etc., etc., etc. Alright? The Spirit of God came only on Samson. And we see that over and over again in the Old Testament, that God's Spirit came upon individuals. It wasn't as on the nation as a whole. But there was a promise that said this same power that came upon Samson and allowed him to fight so many men, and the same thing that came upon Gideon. Gideon was the most scared guy of the lot. But God used him to lead an army to fight the enemy. The same Spirit was promised to us today. And that promise is in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. Look at Joel chapter 2. Verse 28 to 32. And it says this. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Everybody say, all flesh. All flesh. Do you have flesh? You qualify. Okay, so he says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What's going to happen? It's for men and it's for women. But you may be saying, maybe I'm old. Your old men shall dream dreams, and the young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. So it doesn't matter if you're young, if you're old, if you're male, if you're female, you're a servant, you're a CEO. God's promise was, in those days, the spirit will be poured out upon all people. Okay? So on all people. Now, that's the promise. Now, what does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? We know what it means to be baptized in water. Okay? Baptized is another word. It just means immerse. Okay? So when somebody is baptized, you just take them and you're dunking them in water. Yeah? As Chris pointed out, Austin has a special ministry there in helping making sure that every part of your body is immersed in water. All right. So that's baptized. But the word baptized was a very ordinary word meaning immerse. So in those days, if you wanted to dye a piece of cloth, say let's say you were making a nice outfit and you had a white linen cloth and you wanted to dye it, well, what did you do? You had a bucket, you put water and dye in that, mix it whatever color you want, pink, purple, green, whatever the color is, took that cloth and you baptized it. All right, you dipped it in the water. And when it came out, the cloth was transformed. The dye had gotten into the cloth. What was plain and white now was colorful. And that's the same thing with when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay, what happens? We are immersed in the Holy Spirit. We are ordinary, weak people. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, there is a transformation that takes place. Okay, we saw... What is this? Paul speaking about this. Okay, in Romans chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, Paul gives us the effect of the transformation that took place as after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. He says, "Oh, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God." Okay? So that all the way from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. So Paul is saying, hey, this is what I've done. Through the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, I've preached the gospel so that people can come to know Jesus. Now, so we've seen the purpose of the baptism of the Spirit is for us to be clothed with power. So we become, in that sense, like Samson and Gideon, where they were frightened, but now they become bold. In the face of opposition and danger, they are able to tell people, Jesus is Lord. Okay, and not just tell them that, but to say, repent. Because if you don't repent, there's a judgment coming. And then to be able to pray for the sick and to see them healed and to see demons cast out and signs and wonders. That's what Paul did. Now, let's see what happened on the day of Pentecost. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. On Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, it says in verse 4, in verse on, what is that? When the day was one, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Okay, so they had obeyed Jesus' command and they said, we're going to go to the upper room, we're going to wait. What were they doing in that one place? In verse 14, it tells us of chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 14, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Okay, so what were they doing? They were praying. They were together in one accord. That means unitedly, they were praying. Okay? I wonder what they were praying for. Just earlier, Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Could it be that they were praying for the Holy Spirit? I would think so. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus said this. He said, if you who are evil, Luke chapter 11, verse 13, It says, for if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Do you think the Father is reluctant in pouring out His Spirit on us? No. He says, listen, think of it. If now I've got a big son, but think of somebody who's got a small son. Take Chris, you know, or Sunit. Imagine if Ralphie comes up and says, Daddy, I'm hungry. Give me something. What will Sunit do? Will he pick one stone and give it to him? Absolutely not. He'll give him an idli or a wada or a piece of bread, you know. And Jesus is saying that even though we are evil, we know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to who? To those who ask Him. Okay? So there's something to do. The disciples were praying. Possibly they said, Father, send us your Holy Spirit. Now we have an encouragement there. It's not just our prayer, but turn to John chapter 14, verse 16. And we see that it's Jesus who says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you, and we will be in you. Okay? So what he's saying is, Holy Spirit is in you. When you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit has led you and changed you and made you. But He's going to give us more of the Holy Spirit to clothe us and to fill us. And Jesus says, it's not just you asking, I will ask the Father. So Jesus is also asking for us. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. So not only is Jesus asking the Father, but He says, when I go there to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So we've got to believe that when we ask, the Father will answer. Jesus has already prayed for us, and He says, I will send the Holy Spirit. Now, this was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Okay, let's turn back again to Acts chapter 2. So the day of Pentecost arrived, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, before we get into that, let's understand what was the day of Pentecost all about? Okay, the Jews had three feasts that they celebrated, three pilgrimages in the year. Three times a year, the Jews from all over the world, as far as possible, whoever could come, would come to Jerusalem to celebrate a feast. Pentecost was one of those feasts. You know, the Muslims go to Mecca. You know that? They make that pilgrimage. It's from all over the world. People go there. So the Jews had that thing where three times a year they had a feast and people from all over came to Jerusalem to celebrate. Now, secondly, it's Pentecost. That means it was 50 days after the Passover. That's what it was. So the Passover and then 50 days later. Now, it was also the Feast of the Harvest. It was the Feast of the Harvest. And that's what it was. People celebrated the harvest time, and that's what they were celebrating, was a great harvest. Now, this is amazing. Let's get back to Acts chapter 2. And suddenly, this is what happened. There came from heaven, verse 2, a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. So, imagine, they're praying, like we'll be praying this morning, but suddenly, the power of God and the Spirit of God came. There was a huge sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. So this was a supernatural manifestation of the presence of God. There was sound and you could see something. So audible and visible. And verse 4 tells us, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this was a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. All those 120 disciples, Peter and James and all the others, they were filled with the Spirit. And as a result of that, they spoke in tongues. Verse 5 says, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Remember I told you, Pentecost, he had come from all over the place to celebrate the Feast of the Harvest. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these were speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." Wow. Can you imagine what a day it was? Imagine. People from all over the world came. These 120 people were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. The result was they were speaking in tongues, praising God, and each person could hear them. There were a list of nations there. They could hear them in their own language. This was a mighty work of God. Verse 12, and all, now you know, when people are baptized with the Holy Spirit, normally there could be two responses from the onlookers. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Some people are curious. Hey, what's happening here? Something is happening. But others mocking said, "They are filled, they have drunk too much wine." Okay? So one of the things of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is it looks like the person is drunk. That's what they were saying. They mistook them for that. Okay. Now, so this is what happened. And then Peter stood up, verse 14. Standing with the 11, he lifted up his voice and addressed them. He says, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, okay, listen to my words. These people are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They are not drunk," or whatever time that was. "But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." Remember the Father's promise? Yeah, where the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. He said, listen, that promise that Joel made. Verse 17, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." All right? So Peter now connects Joel's promise with what happened on the day of Pentecost. Okay. Now, that happened 2,000 years ago. Those disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, for the first time, was outpoured on lots of people and was open to, and every believer could receive the Holy Spirit. But subsequently, what happens in the book of Acts? Okay, what happens in the book of Acts? Okay, we see that in the book of Acts, when people were baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, where Peter and his group go to Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile. Jews don't associate with Gentiles, but Peter had this vision, said all kinds of reptiles were there, saying, "Eat." And he said, "Lord, how can I eat these things? These are unclean." But Peter says, "Don't call anything unclean that I have made. You go to the Gentiles." And he went to the Gentiles. And he goes and he proclaims the gospel to them. He tells them about Jesus. And verse 44, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Okay? Now, how do you know you've received the Holy Spirit? Is it just something in your heart to receive just by faith? Or is there more? On the day of Pentecost, there were visible and audible signs. What happened to these Gentiles here? And the believers who came from the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. All right? So one of the signs of being baptized with the Holy Spirit is you speak in tongues and you praise God. That's what they did in Acts 2. They were declaring the wonders of God in different languages. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 19, another incident in the New Testament, where we see Paul on the road to Ephesus, where he met some people who he thought were Christians, were disciples. Okay? But later on, further examining them, he realized they were not even believers. Okay? And he explained, he says, verse 19 verse 4, and Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they realized that they had just repented but not believed in Jesus. They believed in Jesus. They were baptized in water. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. How do we know the Holy Spirit came upon them? And they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Okay? So we see that happening. So we see that when the Holy Spirit comes upon people, like when you take that cloth and you dye it in water, okay, there is a transformation that takes place. It's not just something internal, but there is something that is visible. It's audible, visible, okay? Speaking in tongues, prophesying, praising God. These were things that happened in the New Testament. Now, in some cases, like in Cornelius' case, Peter wouldn't even lay hands on him. He just preached the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell. But in other cases, we see hands were laid on people. Okay? That's what Jesus, that's what Paul did. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands on them. So although Paul is laying his hands on them, who's the one baptizing? Jesus. Okay? He's the baptizer. Okay? That's what it is. We see even in Paul's case himself, when he came to faith. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Yeah, remember how Paul got converted? He was going on the road to Damascus. A bright light blinded him. He was going to arrest and destroy Christians. But Jesus met with him and he became a believer. And he was blind. 3 days and three nights he couldn't see. And then in verse 19, it says there, verse 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house. God told Ananias, go to Paul. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Paul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So even in Paul's case, Ananias laid hands on the Apostle Paul. He wasn't the Apostle then. And he received the Holy Spirit. Okay, one last scripture. Let's turn to John chapter 7. Second last scripture. John chapter 7, verse 37 onwards. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So this is an amazing statement. Jesus is saying, are you thirsty? Then come to me. Okay? Let him come to me and drink, and out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. A thirsty person will become a source. Rivers will flow out from you. Now, what does this mean? Now, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus has not yet been glorified. So Jesus gives us a promise. He says, are you thirsty for my Spirit? Then you need to come to Jesus to drink. Okay? Because he's the one who baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And he says, when that happens, streams of living water will flow from you. Now, in all these things, we need to believe. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul writes to the Galatians and says, listen, how did you receive the Spirit? And in Galatians chapter 3, he says in verse 2, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So we don't receive the Spirit by doing good deeds. It's not by our works, but it's by hearing with faith, by believing. Okay? He says, goes on, verse 5, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and work miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit this morning, this is what you need. You need to believe and hear with faith. I've listed all these scriptures. What do you need to say? Lord, I believe you, Lord. Not I believe Colin, I believe Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Streams of living water will flow from him. Okay? Are you ready? You know, I want to tell you, I want you to be thirsty for the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we cannot do much. They're just works of the flesh. But we need power in our lives. We need boldness. Take Peter. Okay? Peter was a guy who would speak very quickly, right? He had some boldness. But on that day when Jesus was crucified, he was so afraid of a little servant girl. You remember that? A girl says, "Weren't you with Jesus?" He says, "I don't know him. I have nothing to do with him." 3 times he denied Jesus. But after the Spirit of God came upon him, when he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, he stood up in public and boldly was able to proclaim the gospel. Friends, God has saved us because he wants us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're afraid. There's persecution. Things can go wrong. People may reject us. They will mock us. You know, all kinds of things. But Jesus said, listen, you will receive power. We can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power is there for signs and wonders as well. To point to Jesus. That's what it is for. Okay, it's not just healing for the sake of healing. Yet the kingdom comes. But it's to say, as the disciples did. They said, the crippled man is healed because of Jesus, whom you crucified and God raised from the dead. Okay? We need the Holy Spirit. Okay? D.L. Moody was a great prophet, evangelist. He preached, and there was a time where he preached, and there were two old ladies who were sitting in the front row. And when he preached, they kept praying for him, praying. And he was wondering, what are you praying for? He said, we are praying that you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he had a successful church, a lot of people, everything. He said, what is this? I don't need this thing. But finally, he gave in one day. And he joined them in praying. Okay? And then, sometime later, his church got burned down. And he went to New York from Chicago, I think, to raise funds for the church. And one day, walking on the streets of New York, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And his life was transformed. He says, I'll never forget that day. When he came back and started preaching, he said, I preached the same sermons. I did the same things, but multitudes were converted. Okay, so there is a power that is supernatural. Would you like that supernatural power? Can you imagine Peter? He walked by. People kept sick people along his path so that his shadow would follow them and they would be healed. Wow. Look at Paul. They took his handkerchiefs. He was working, making tents, wiped his thing, left it down there. People took that and touched 6 feet. You know, it's amazing stuff. But really, okay, this is all biblical. Okay, but we want the power of the Holy Spirit to lead righteous lives and to boldly proclaim the gospel. You know, our motto at Word of Grace is enjoying God, making friends, changing lives. Okay, we love enjoying God. We love making friends. But at the end of the day, we want lives to be transformed. We can't stop at the first two. We want our lives to be transformed as they have. And we want us to transform other lives. You know, we have this weekend. I don't know if you read the newspapers, but in London, what has happened? There was another terrorist attack, okay? And 2 weeks ago in Manchester. And this morning as I was praying and thinking, I just thought about it, you see? The power of the Bible and the power of the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people. These people who did this thing, they come from an Islamic background in Manchester, that's what they did. And they were filled with another spirit and they killed 86 people, including many children, okay, that's what it was. And that's what happened. But this morning, I was thinking about Abdullah. You remember him? He came here, came to know Jesus, born again, filled with the Spirit. This weekend, he's in England, and he's doing a different thing. What is he doing? He's preaching a seminar at our Transform Conference. What's the difference? One filled with the Holy Spirit, one not filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, there is power in the Holy Spirit. Would you like to receive this? Okay? Yes. Now, there's something you've got to do. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, first of all, before we start, we need to be on proper ground. This is for people who have put their faith in Jesus, who have said, Jesus, I believe in you. You are the only God, there is no other. You are the only one who died on the cross for my sins. I'm a sinner. I deserve to be punished and sent to hell. But you died for me. I believe that. I'm trusting in you. I'm putting aside every other God, only in you, Jesus. If you've done that, you're ready to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Okay? And so we are coming to Jesus, not to any person. And then as we drink, yeah, how do you drink? Tell me, how do you drink? Yeah, Meher is drinking. Can you drink with your mouth closed? It's not possible to drink with your mouth closed. You've got to open your mouth. Okay? And so, that's what I understand. That's how you drink. So come to Jesus and just start praising God. Remember, they were in one accord. They were praying. So you praise God. You ask God. You say, Lord, you promised the Holy Spirit. The Father's promise. I want more. Maybe some of you have already received the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But we want more. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a continuous thing. It's not a one-time thing. All right? More and more of the Spirit. Would you like to receive this power in your life? I can't do anything. I can just preach the word. You've got to believe. You've got to ask Jesus. You've got to speak out. But I tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's an amazing thing. You know, in John chapter 3, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is like the wind. The wind blows where it wills. We don't know where it comes from, where it is going. We cannot control the Holy Spirit. I cannot baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus has to baptize you. And the Holy Spirit works in different ways. One day they prayed, the place shook. Some people spoke in tongues. Some prophesied. Some praised God. It's different. Okay? But there's something we've got to do. We've got to be thirsty. Open your mouth. Praise God. Ask Him for the Holy Spirit. And expect to be filled. It can happen today. We hope it does. It can happen to you on your way out. Yeah? It happened to D.L. Moody that way. But expect to receive the Holy Spirit this morning. Shall we stand? Okay, we don't want to rush out of this. Yeah, remember the disciples were waiting for many days. Okay? We're saying, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us. Okay? Now, we've got to be thirsty. So let's not be distracted with what's happening. Okay? Let's stand this morning. Let's lift our hands to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's the one who baptizes. 4 times in the Gospels it said that. Believe that the Father will give you the Holy Spirit. Ask right now. Ask the Father. Say, Father, I want your Holy Spirit, more of your Spirit upon my life. The promise of the Father. Amen. Come. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Lord, as we wait upon you this morning, Lord, we invite you to come, Lord Jesus. You've promised that you will baptize us. You will immerse us with your Holy Spirit and with fire. You will clothe us with your Holy Spirit on high, that we would be your witnesses. Lord, we ask you this morning, would you fill us, Lord? Would you fill us to overflowing? Come, Lord Jesus, we invite you here. Come, Holy Spirit.